if you can be accepting of where you are right now, that's one of the keys to being mindful. That's one of the keys to any meditation practice. Hello and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, I interview peak performing innovators in the creative, social impact, and earth conservation spaces who are working to change the world. This episode is brought to you by Brain FM. Brain FM combines the best of music and neuroscience to help you relax, focus, meditate, and even sleep. I love it and have been using it to write, create, and do some of my deepest work. Because you're a listener of the show, you can get a free trial. Head over to brain.fm/innovativemindset to check it out. If you decide to subscribe, you can get 20% off with the coupon code innovativemindset, all one word. And now, let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time and attention. I know it's precious. I'll try not to waste yours. I want to talk about mindfulness and when, no matter what you do, it's not working. What do you do when that happens? What do you do when you sit down to meditate and the only thing that happens is you have an anxiety attack, which actually happened to me recently. I sat down to meditate and instead my heart started pounding and I could not begin to not think. I was overthinking like crazy and I came out of that meditation going, okay, I need to figure out some rules for myself. And that's what I did, because when you're meditating, when you're trying to be mindful, if it's just not working, don't force yourself. That's not what you want to do at all. In fact, it's the opposite of what you want to do. The more patience you can show yourself when something like that happens, the better off you will be, I promise. So the next time you're trying to do something mindfully and it's just not working because your brain is on all sorts of other things, you might be tempted to throw things. You might be tempted to scream and shout and go, I can't do this. I can't be present all the time. What are you kidding me? And I totally understand. I completely understand. And so the thing to do is instead to step away, right? All the latest research says the same thing about going to bed. One of the things that happens is you work hard all day, you get dinner on the table, you do all the things you're going to do for the evening, and then you're ready to go to bed. And while you were exhausted 5 minutes ago, the second you lie in bed, your eyes open, and it's like you've never been more awake in your life. And no matter what you do, you cannot go to sleep. You toss and you turn, and you try and count, I don't know what, cupcakes, whatever it is you're trying to do, nothing is working. And so the thing that all the research is saying to do now is get up. Don't try to keep sitting there and or lying there and trying to go to sleep when you can't. This is a moment your brain and body are telling you, don't try. So the research says, get up, go do something, go read a book. Not in bed, though. Don't do it in bed. Bed should be for two things, right? And one of them is sleeping. And so if that's the case, if we're going to leave that kind of distinction between what the bed is for and what it's not for, you can't stay in bed and read. I know a lot of us do, but then we start equating being in bed with things other than sleeping and that other thing, right? We start thinking about, oh, I could read, I could do work. And before you know it, it's like you're doing mental calisthenics before bed. And how are you ever going to get to sleep that way? So the key here is to get up and go do something. I have a cat jumping up on and down on things right now. That's what you're hearing if you're hearing it. The key is to go do something that has nothing to do with sleeping. Go get up. Go make yourself a cup of tea, non-caffeinated, of course. Go do some Tai Chi or yoga if you do that, but not heating yoga, if you see what I mean. Do the stuff that's calming. But also just move away from the bed so that when you come back to bed, you will have a better chance of getting into that sleep space. But also, the same kind of thing works for when you're meditating. If meditation isn't working, if you sit down to meditate, if you sit down to be mindful, and your brain is going a mile a minute, don't keep trying. Don't go, I'm just going to force myself to meditate. That's the opposite of what meditation and mindfulness are, right? The whole point is to go maybe and do something else for a little bit and then come back and sit into meditation or your mindfulness practice a little bit later. And I get that there's a certain discipline involved when you're trying to meditate and when you're trying to be mindful. I completely understand that. All the teachings say that, but here's the thing about that. When they started teaching about meditation, we just didn't have as much stimulation. There weren't as many stimuli coming at us from all angles, all hours of the day and night. So, and this is, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying ancient peoples had nothing to do. They had plenty to do. They were busy all the time. But the actual stimuli weren't as numerous. Nowadays, we have stuff coming at us all the time. Just open your inbox and you'll see all the kajillions of things either people want from you or they want you to buy or they're trying to sell you or things you were supposed to do and didn't get done. It's wackadoo how much of that stuff is going on at any one time. So it's no wonder that we as sort of a culture have become people who find it a lot harder to be meditative and mindful. And so the thing to do when that happens, when you're like, ah, my brain's going too fast, I can't do this, is chill out, get up, step away from the practice for a minute, go do something else. You know what I found helps, believe it or not? Running warm water over my hands. I know they say that if you put your hand in warm water, you will actually potentially pee. I've heard that. But I actually have found that it makes me feel really good to just run my hands over some warm water or run some warm water over my hands or run my hands under warm water. You knew what I meant. And then maybe dry them and then go very slowly put some lotion on them, especially right now it's winter time and I've been putting lotion on my hands just sort of to chill and very slowly work all the fingers, make sure that things are moisturized, you know, make sure that you're taking care of yourself in another way, even if what you can't do right now is be meditative or mindful, that's okay. But do something deliberate and slow. And like washing your hands or like putting on lotion or making a cup of tea and just try to focus on making that cup of tea, pouring the water in the cup or the water in the kettle, turning the kettle on, waiting for the water to boil, pouring it into a cup of that contains your favorite tea bag, for example, or that if you decide to do some other kind of drink, whatever it is. You know, sit slowly and watch the steam rise from the cup as the tea is brewing, for example. Those kinds of things are things that you can be doing right now to sort of get into that place. Even if you're not able to meditate or be mindful in the moment, just focusing on that, taking time to do that for yourself is a beautiful way of dealing with that busy head, busy mind thing. And the key, of course, here is that if you do that, if you're able to sort of focus on pouring the water or washing your hands or putting lotion on or brewing that cup of tea and watching the smoke curling, well, guess what? You've just been mindful without having to be seated in a certain way and mindful in a certain way and meditating in a certain way. We make our own rules when it comes to this stuff, ultimately, because all the great meditation teachers are going to charge you thousands of dollars and go, you know, hey, you need to pay us a lot of money, and then we'll teach you the secrets of meditation. The secrets of meditation, as far as I'm concerned, are to be present. Yes, there are other methods and there are secrets and all of that stuff, but ultimately, it's being present and being accepting of what is, whatever that is, being accepting of it. So if you can be accepting of where you are right now, that's one of the keys to being mindful. That's one of the keys to any meditation practice, right? So that's, and I'm reminded of my two favorite quotes, or two of my favorite quotes. The first is from King Lear, and Edgar says, "The worst is not, so long as we can say this is the worst." And the other one is Pema Chodron's definition of hopelessness. It's the only definition, Buddhist definition of hopelessness I can get behind. And what it is hopelessness is the release of all hope for an alternative to the present moment. Wow. There's a lot in that. So Edgar's quote is simple and yet also contains multitudes, right? The worst is not, so long as we can say this is the worst. On the one hand, you can always fall a little bit farther. And you've heard me talk about my notion of rock bottom and why I believe being rock bottom is actually a good thing. But also, if you're alive, if you can say the words, this is the worst, then it ain't all that bad. So that's something for us to think about. And then the release of all hope for an alternative to the present moment, which is potentially my favorite quote in the world. is so brilliant, because what does it tell us? It tells us that presence, being present, means you're not trying to change something in the moment. Yes, have plans, make goals, go through the processes, do all of that. But being ticked off because something isn't the way you want it to be isn't helping you. And in fact, it's probably hurting you. And so if you can release the hope for an alternative to where you are and instead accept where you are, then you've got the ingredients for a whole lot of miracles. And I hope that that makes sense. And if it doesn't, drop me a line, because this is something I'm really thinking a lot about. And if I had said that quote myself, I'd write an entire book on it, because it contains multitudes as well. So I hope that you've enjoyed today's episode. And if you have, I would love, love, love it if you would leave a review. That would be super cool. I'm also gearing back up to bring my Patreon back in. And that means that soon you will be able to get extra goodies if you decide to subscribe to my Patreon, and I will have extra little goodies, extra bits of interviews, extra paintings. I don't know if you know, but I'm doing a painting a day for the next year. So I will be doing bonus paintings, and it'll be pretty cool, I think. Some of those will be turned into NFTs, and that's pretty cool too. But anyway, As I said, if you are liking the show, if you're getting something out of it, please leave a review. Let me know what you're thinking. Until next time, as always, I remind you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2021. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind.